If you'll look there in Hebrews chapter 11, one of the fundamental areas that we must deal with, we're talking about faithful Christianity in this new year, that's the theme, is this matter of worship. You know this, all of our service for the Lord, listen carefully, must come forth out of our worship of the Lord. Now worship, it's interesting, in it itself has become a catchphrase among Christian circles today. And unfortunately, it has a lot of people confused as to what true worship is. In fact, the word worship means this. It means to give reverence. It literally means this, to bow down or to stoop, and gives the idea that you and I would get so low that we would even kiss the earth. But yet, as we think about that, the modern day examples that oftentimes is given to us when we think about worship, you've seen the pictures of folks standing up, raising their hands up. Typically, it's in a dark room, and normally there's a lot of loud music going on, and folks get confused and think this, that that is what is going on, worship. Friends, worship as seen in the Bible means this. It means to give honor and glory and humble submission to our Savior. In fact, I would tell you this, that our offerings, which is an act of worship, is really this. It is submission to the Lord. In our text we saw last week, in the very few verses of Hebrews chapter number 11, some examples of those that were faithful Christians. And I want you to see here in the first few verses of the 11th chapter, God gives us a divine order in the way of exampleship. We see here right at the very beginning, the very first example of faith that's given to us is, guess what? It is an act of worship that's cited as an example of faith. Would you look at it with me? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. We're not going to stand yet because we're going to read another text in Genesis chapter 4 in just a moment. But look at this. Notice what it says. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Notice God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Do you understand this morning, Christian, that this is an act of worship? This is what Abel did, and he had a faithful offering. And that's the title of the message this morning, faithful offering. In other words, we might say it this way. Abel's actions were a result of his faith in the Lord. In other words, Abel approached God with an offering that pleased God. Do you know this, that when we worship the Lord, we come to him and we approach him after his ways? There's a false idea, unfortunately, that's out there that's been taught that we can approach God any way we feel like it. Now, I want you to understand this morning that that is not found in the scriptures. In fact, it's the exact opposite. God tells us exactly how we are to approach him. This citation concerning Abel tells us this, that God cares very much so how we approach him. And by the end of this sermon, I'm going to point out one particular way, an offering that is commended in the New Testament. But I'm going to give you a future message and give you some more offerings that are commended in the New Testament. With that understanding, let's now look at our main passage. If you'll turn over to Genesis chapter number 4, all the way in the very beginning of your Bible, you say, what are you doing, Pastor James? I am connecting Scripture with Scripture. See, Hebrews 11:4 mentions Abel, and now we're going to look at the very account in Genesis chapter number 4. And so if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word, out of respect to God's Word in Genesis chapter number 4, let's look at this blessed account, the first 7 verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says this, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord, notice, had respect unto what? Unto Abel and to his offering. Notice verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? What a good question. Why are you mad? You know, when we get upset, we ought to ask ourselves that same question. We ought to stop and think for a second. Why are you mad? Why are you so upset? Why art thou wroth? Why hast thou countenance fallen? Notice what the Lord says. Very important. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, guess what? Sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are peering into this very beginning book, this book of beginnings. The very first account, right after the fall of man, we find Cain and Abel. It is often quoted throughout the New Testament in reference, three different occasions. Lord, this very incident right here. Father, I pray we would have a great understanding of this matter of faithful Christianity. Lord, that it begins with our time with you and worship of you. Father, I pray we would truly understand what it means to worship. I pray we would understand what it means to give a faithful offering. Lord, would you challenge us in this area? I pray once again, Lord, if there's someone here who's never trusted in Christ as their personal Savior, I pray this would be the day that they repent of their sin and by faith look to the Savior, trust in him as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray there be one born again in this crowd this very day. Lord, we just love you. We thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope it's this way for Liberty Baptist Church, and I'd like to think that it will be, that you and I would like to be Christians that desire to worship the Lord. And listen, here's how it's done, as Jesus spoke about it, in spirit and in truth. You might write that down. It's found in John chapter number 4, we're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this very matter in John chapter 4 to a woman that we affectionately call the woman at the well. And I call her the woman of Sychar, who Jesus purposely met. And this woman was concerned with this thing, the traditions of men. She asked a question of Jesus, if you remember the account in John chapter number 4. She said this, do we go up to this mountain to worship or we go to Jerusalem? You see, my fathers told me we could go to this mountain, and you're telling me we're to go to Jerusalem. Which one is it, Jesus? And by the way, just as a side note, realize this, that someone told that woman that that mountain was the way that you worship God. You go to that mountain to worship God. Someone had instructed that woman that that was the proper place to go for her to worship the Lord. And might I say this, people might be asking this morning, Pastor James, what are the steps to worshiping the Lord? I came here today to Liberty Baptist Church. Surely it must mean that if I'm sitting in this church house right now and I've got my Bible open, surely it must mean that since I'm here, I'm worshiping the Lord. And can I tell you this morning that the woman of Sychar's problem is the very same problem that you and I deal with today. You say, what is that? What problem is that? Well, it is simply this, that we know bits and pieces of the Word of God, and we mix that with the traditions of men, and oftentimes allowing, listen carefully, the traditions of men to supersede the Scriptures. Paul gives some insight when he declared this. It's a great verse. You ought to write it down. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Paul said this. He said, beware, and that ought to make us perk up in our seats, by the way. Beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After, guess what? The tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. On one occasion, the religious crowd of Jesus' day asked the Lord of glory, why do you transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash their hands when they eat bread. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 2. And by the way, let me just stop here and tell you this. It is good for you to wash your hands before you eat food. Amen? Please wash your hands before you eat food. Matter of fact, I tell you this, put some hand sanitizer on after we have that wonderful time of fellowship. That'd be a good thing. But that's not the point. The point is that they were taking the traditions of men, and they're elevating it above the word of God. In fact, Jesus replied in Matthew 15:3 and answered them and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Notice, by your traditions. Well, because we take bits and pieces of the word of God, we mix that with the traditions of men, and we think that's the way we should go, and all the while we miss the central heart of the matter, and that is simply this, Christian. You know what it is? It's you and I being with him. It's you and I being with the Lord. It's you and I looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And friends, if you come to the church house, I promise you, you could sit here the whole message and not spend time with the Lord. I promise you, you could open up your Bible and do all the external things in all the world, and it appears that you're meeting with God and not actually meet with God. Some may get the idea that dropping something in the offering plate, that's the only form of offering that we give. And those who think that way, I want you to understand, have just a veiled understanding of what exactly we're doing here at the church house. You see, the Lord responded to the woman of Sychar, and he helped her to understand that God the Father desires true worshipers. What were the true worshipers look like? He says, those who worship in two ways, in spirit and in truth. I want to repeat that. God the Father seeketh such to worship him. I hope you understand that. How are we to do that? In spirit and in truth. John 4:23, Jesus speaking, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You see, the woman of Sychar got caught up and was concerned about this matter of where. And the Lord responds not about where, but about how. You see, our worship must be in the way of righteousness. In other words, there's a right way to approach God. In other words, there is truth. It's found in this book, by the way, the Word of God. And it must be from the innermost part of man. That is, Jesus said, we must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Friends, can I tell you this morning, we're not interested in a form of religion. Not interested. But we're interested in a relationship. We're not interested in empty external exercises, but rather giving a faithful offering in our worship of the Lord. Back in our text from the very beginning, Abel gave a faithful offering. I want you to notice a few things in the text. I'd like to give you a couple of points, if you'll write them down. Point number one, a faithful offering requires an action. Now, just hear me out. We see here directly in our text, Cain and Abel brought something to the Lord. Notice in verse number 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Notice in Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. They brought something to the Lord. That tells us two things. Number one, they came to a specific place. Amen? They went to a specific place. Not only did they go to a specific place, but they had a specific time in which they set out to do this. The fact of the matter is today that I'm not here to emphasize necessarily a particular place, but I do want to tell you, Christian, there was a time and there was a place where they chose to meet with God and come before the Lord. Does that make sense? And so you see here in this verse, this phrase, it says in verse 3, and it came to pass what? In the process of time that they did what? They brought. That expression in the process of time could mean the end of the week, as in the Sabbath, or it could have been the end of weeks, as in the gathering of the harvest. We don't know, but we do note this fact that there was a particular time that they came together to give an offering unto the Lord. You know, oftentimes it is that people come to me and they'll say, Pastor James, you know, I can worship God anywhere. You ever had someone tell you that? I can worship God anywhere, and that is a true statement if you're worshiping in spirit and truth. In fact, I tell you this, when you're spending time with the Lord in the morning and you open your Bible and you're praying, I pray it is that you're worshiping the Lord. I pray it is that you're meeting with God. There's no doubt about it. But listen, normally the reason why somebody says that, normally the reason why somebody brings that up is because they're trying to insist on not assembling with the local New Testament church. In other words, they tell you that as a reason why I don't have to come to the church house, because I can worship God anywhere. And can I tell you that if that is the reason that you're skipping coming to the church house, that you're using that as a license not to assemble with the brethren, can I tell you, you're confusing two different things. You see, on the one hand, we're speaking about worshiping the Lord. On the other hand, we're speaking about the command that's given to us to assemble with the believers as a local New Testament church. Two different things entirely. You and I are to do both, by the way. Amen? We are to worship the Lord. Yes, we're to do it in spirit and truth. But guess what? These assembly meetings are very important. God designed them for you. You know this, that Christ died for the church. And I think this, if Christ died for the church, that makes the local New Testament church, just like you, of infinite value. You see, the value of something is the price that you're willing to pay. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you. He shed his precious blood for you. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. The Bible also tells us that he died for the church. We're his bride. Do you think God cares if you come to the church house? Yes, he does. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And so what I mean simply is this, is that you're to worship the Lord individually and you're to worship the Lord collectively. In this case, they came with an offering together. They had set out and decided, we're going to go and offer unto the Lord. And guess what we see? We see two very different people attempting to worship the Lord. Now understand this morning, one was a true worshiper. He was full of faith in his offering. And then one, we understand from the scriptures, was a false worshiper, attempting to offer something that was desolate of faith. Can I say to you in kindness this morning as a preacher of the gospel that this is what we see even among God's people today? We see this in our own lives today, in our own local New Testament church meetings today. Some have the power of God rest upon their lives. Why? Because they're full of faith. They're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And then there's others that have just a form of godliness with no power at all. No power at all. In other words, it looks right, it smells right, but it's not right. It's a form. It's a fashion of godliness. And friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to come to the church house under the guise of worshiping the Lord and never having done so. I don't want to give in the offering plate an offering that is empty or desolate of faith just because I'm doing it out of some vain, empty religious exercise. I don't want to sing in those blessed hymns in the church house and it being just mere empty words because I like the tune. You see, we need to be faithful in our offering. Sometimes we may get the idea of this, that all action is what takes place on the outside. In other words, everything that we would call action is what is external. But can I tell you this morning that all of our external actions first begin with what is inside of us? This is so vitally important to understand. If you're going to give a faithful offering, if you're going to come to Liberty Baptist Church and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, understand, friend, that yes, it does require an action, but understand that it is a matter of the heart. It begins in the heart. This old expression is a great one. The heart of the matter is the heart. The heart of the matter is always the heart. You must understand before I speak anything about this matter of worship that it must begin first, number one, in the heart. It must begin in the heart. You see, the Lord Jesus said about the words that come out of our mouths, just by way of example, how it is that this truth is true about the things of the heart. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus speaking said, "O generation of vipers," that's not a good thing. If the Lord's looking at you and saying, hey, you're a generation of vipers, that's not a good thing. That's not the kind of label that I want put on me. And the Lord looks out and says, you generation of vipers. He then goes on and says this, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? And then he gives us this marvelous truth that we ought to have down in our hearts. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Oh, that just slipped out. Speaking about their speech. Oh, that just slipped out. You know, the things that slip out of your mouths are those which are in your heart. Because the Lord Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaketh. In other words, the beginning point of what comes out of here comes from in here. On another occasion, the Lord once again emphasized this truth. In Matthew chapter 15 and verses 16 through 20, Jesus said, and are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth of the heart, and they defile a man. You say, Pastor James, what are those things that come out of man's heart? Well, then he gives us a list. The Lord explains to us what comes from man's heart naturally. You ready for it? Buckle in. Sit down in your seats. Listen carefully. Here's what comes out of a man's heart. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. How many would say by raise of hand, Pastor James, that's a pretty bad list? I hope you raise your hand. I hope you think that's a pretty bad list. Pretty bad list of evil things that proceedeth forth out of the natural man's heart. You know, the first thing we have to understand concerning true worship and a faithful offering, number one, it must begin with a proper heart. And friend, can I ask you this morning, Christian, how is your heart today? How is your heart today? When you came into the house of the Lord, is there aught between you and your brother? When you came into this church house, do you have something against somebody else that's sitting in this church house right now? Do you have aught against your brother? Friend, can I ask you this morning, is there unforgiveness festering in your heart that will result in bitterness? And by the way, if it results in bitterness, the Bible says it's going to spring up and it's going to defile many. Is there sin that you're harboring in your heart, unconfessed, being held on to as you come into the house of the Lord in an attempt to have a faithful offering and worship of the Lord? You have sin in the heart this morning. So Pastor James, that's pretty strong preaching. Amen. We cannot offer the Lord a faithful offering. We cannot offer the Lord a faithful offering without our heart being pointed in the right direction. And might I say this, that it's impossible to bring a proper offering to the Lord without having your sin problem dealt with. It's impossible. You know, the Lord pointed out that evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, they all come from the heart of man. They all originate there. That ought to tell us something, and surely it does. It tells us that we're born in sin and that we're sinners because we sin. You see, there's no two ways about it. We don't teach our children to lie. Guess what? They naturally know how to do that, don't they? Well, we don't teach our children to be selfish. One of the very first things a young baby will do is say, mine. That's mine. Where does it come from? It comes from the natural man's heart. They do it naturally by birth. The fact is that you and I, we have a sin problem. Job 14 verse 1 says this, man that is born of woman, listen carefully, is a few days, and guess what? Full of trouble. I can attest to that in my life. There's no doubt about it. You're going to encounter the troubles of sin all the days of your life here on this earth. My friend, you can begin to worship the Lord even this morning in spirit and truth by coming to Jesus Christ to be born again. You can worship the Lord in spirit and truth. You got to come to Jesus first and deal with that problem of sin. See, our first birth results in physical life, but spiritual death. A second birth by receiving Christ as your Savior results in spiritual life, which, by the way, is eternal life. And one day, those of us who've trusted in Jesus Christ, who've been regenerated by the operation of the Holy Ghost on the inside, will also receive a glorified sin-free body on the outside. How many say that's a pretty good deal? Say amen. I think that's a pretty good deal. I'm looking forward, Brother Gene, to getting that body one day. See, my knees hurt awful lot. My lower back is falling apart. There's no doubt about it. I keep my hair short, as you all know. That's just so you can't see all the gray that's up there. Amen? The Bible says that's just wisdom coming out, by the way, and we're glad for that. But listen, I recognize this, that this body is falling apart. You know why it's falling apart? Because of sin. That's why. And so we must have a right heart. And for some of you this morning, maybe that means to you that you need to come to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. For others, we need to come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and confess our sins, knowing that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it'd be a good idea for every one of us before we come to the place, Liberty Baptist Church, to seek the Lord's face. It'd be a good idea before you step into this place to worship the Lord, to have your heart already pointed in the right direction. How many of you spent some time this morning and said, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins this morning? Would you help me to have a right heart this morning so I can go to Liberty Baptist Church, that wonderful? I was told this is the church on the hill, praise the Lord. I like that. We're the church on the hill. Somebody, as I was talking to them, say, oh, yeah, you're the church down the street on the hill. Praise the Lord for that. We're on the hill. But listen, before you come to the church house that's on the hill, why don't we get our hearts right and point it in the right direction? Say, Lord, I want to come into this place with a right heart, with a right attitude. I don't want anything between me and you. And then I'll tell you this. When you do it that way, you'll come in here and you will have a smile on your face. You'll be able to sing those blessed hymns and be full of glory. Amen. You'll be able to smile and rejoice in what all God's doing in your life. Why? Because my heart's pointed in the right place, and now I can offer to my Lord and Savior Jesus a faithful offering. You see, not only does it begin in the heart, but number two, if you're taking notes, it often results in an action without. An action without. This is the case that we see in our text, but be careful. Be very careful, for we see two very similar actions taking place. Do you see it there? Two different similar actions taking place. Notice with me in verse number 3 and 4 again. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, notice this action word, and brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel also, he also, guess what he did? He also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. These two men brought an offering unto the Lord. You see, Cain brought, and I believe this, and some expositors don't think so, but I believe this, that he brought the very best he had of the fruit of the ground. You say, why do you say that? Well, we see that he assumed his offering was good enough. He assumed it was good enough. You say, how do I know? How do I think that is? He assumed it was good enough? Well, he got mad when God said it wasn't. He has some indignation inside of him when God said, I'm not respecting this, Cain. And perhaps it is that he brought the very best he had. Look again with me in the text. Verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was what? Very wroth. See, I believe this. If he didn't bring the best that he had, he'd have been like, well, that's because I know I didn't bring the very best. You see Cain's thinking, right? Lacking faith. The false form of Christianity, by the way, still persists today. It's still with us today from the very beginning after Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. We see the mark of sin in our lives, and this false form still persists. We see folks that come to the house of the Lord. You ever see it? Full of shine and glitter. They present what they believe is the very best of external religious exercise they can possibly muster. They say, surely the Lord be okay with this. I believe this. Abel brought the very best he had also. The firstlings of the flock, the fat thereof. And by the way, that fat thereof was very highly prized. Cain's offering must have been more pleasing to the eye. Think of it. A nice arrangement of flowers and fruit and vegetables, all manner of things, the very best you could find in the garden. He arranges it up real nice for the Lord and says, look how pleasing to the eye this is. And yet Abel comes along with the firstling of the flock and the blood begins to run and it's a bloody mess. And how pleasing to the eyes is that? You see it, the two preparing and setting up their offerings together, brothers side by side, thinking in this in their mind, this is the Creator. This is the one who made mom and dad. See, we forget just a chapter earlier about Adam and Eve, but listen, that's mom and dad. And mom and dad told us that this is the Creator. This is the one who made us. This is the one who took of the dust of the ground and formed me and breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. This is the one. See? And they're thinking, this is the one who created all the abundant life around us. This is the one who gives us breath and gives us life. You might be thinking, what's the difference then, Pastor James? Why was Abel's offering respected by God, but Cain's offering was not received? Well, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, I believe the Bible tells us. I believe God reveals to us what the answer is. You see, not much is spoken to us about in the Scriptures about Cain and Abel. In fact, outside of Genesis 4, Cain's mentioned only three times in the New Testament. Abel's mentioned four times, being spoke of by the Lord in two gospel record accounts, and here in the book of Hebrews, as we read. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, it tells us this. Not as Cain, listen carefully, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Do you notice the Lord states that Cain's works were evil? Where do evil works come from? Well, we already understood that. Those evil works come out of the heart. They came from his heart. They came from his thoughts, because his thoughts were evil. Therefore, his actions were tainted with evil. Whereas we read that Abel's works, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, were righteous. His actions, therefore, were, guess what? Right. In fact, we see the heart motive of Abel according to Hebrews 11, 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered. By faith. That means looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. By faith, Abel offered. You see, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I wholeheartedly believe that Cain and Abel, that mom and dad set them down, Adam and Eve, and surely recounted some of the spiritual exercises to their children. In other words, we could say this, there was some generational teaching, listen, parents, some generational teaching about God within the family. And I hope it is that you take serious this matter of teaching your young ones the word of God, how vitally important it is among the family to teach and pass on spiritual truth from one generation to the next. I understand those kids have to make a choice. I realize that. But listen, parents, mom, dad, you better do everything you can to give them the word of God. Give them the word of God. And by the way, you better example it in your life as well. Don't just say one thing and do another. Tell them what this book has to say, and then show them through life's experience, this is how a Christian lives. This is how I exercise faithful Christianity in my life. You see, there was some generational teaching. You know, these two men who knew who God was, Cain and Abel, they knew who God was. That's evident by the text. They knew, by the way, where to go to worship the Lord and give an offering. There's no doubt they went to a specific place. That's evident by the text. And thirdly, they no doubt knew what God had done in covering Adam and Eve by the very first shedding of blood ever recorded in human history. I can't imagine for one moment that that was not a topic of conversation among the family of Adam and Eve. But listen, friends, what we see in Cain's life is what's described in the Bible and warned for you and I in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, which says this. Listen, there's a way which seemeth right. Seemeth right unto a man. But the ways thereof are the ways of, guess what? Death. There's a whole lot of hoopla, if you allow me to use that word, going on today under the guise of worship and offering that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is, guess what? Death. And so I would submit to you this, if you're going to try to come up with a way to approach God and make an offering to him without using the lens of Scripture, friend, you will not be giving a faithful offering. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, and this is his book, the very word of God. How can we respond to a holy and righteous God? How can we approach a holy and righteous God without knowing his ways? Cain perhaps thought as many as do today. I'm just going to give it the old 1-2. I'm going to give it my very best. Surely God will be pleased with that. I'm going to throw some money at it. God will be pleased with that. I'm going to put on my very best clothes. I mean, look at me. God will be pleased with that. I'm going to work really hard to get after this thing. Surely God will be pleased with that. And all the while, we're disconnected from the Lord of glory. Why? Our actions and our thoughts not being mixed with faith. In other words, what Cain offered was not of God or by his design. It was of men. Now, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Why? Because it was the right offering and it was made by faith. It was righteous. The Bible says, and I believe this, that not only was Abel offering right, but I believe his heart was right. You see, I wholeheartedly believe if his heart was not right, his offering would not have been received. Do you know this, that we can put on a performance of worshiping God and be completely disconnected from him? Matter of fact, some major in that and become real good at it. You say, is there an example of that in the scriptures? Absolutely. You ever know this man by the name of Judas Iscariot? Judas, one of the 12. You know, in the end, what he's called is the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Hey, he went everywhere the Lord went. Hey, he did things with the Lord. Hey, he was around when the Lord was teaching. Hey, he went out with the disciples two by two, and they wrought miracles and cast out demons and told others about the Lord. He did all of those things, and yet we find in the scriptures at the end of his life, he's called the son of perdition. You see, not only does an offer to the Lord require an action, but secondly, I want you to understand this. An offering requires the right authority. The right authority. Where do we find what's acceptable to God? This, my friend, is where faith comes in. Our faith is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no two ways about it. You see, God has given us his word and describes for you and I how to approach him. And further, it describes to you and I the various kinds of offerings and sacrifices. Listen, he accepts. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ has already come, my friend? Say amen. Imagine today if it were that we were coming to Liberty Baptist Church to sacrifice a bunch of animals. Imagine that. That's what we were doing up here on this altar, and we're putting them on the burnt offering table and we're burning them up right here in the middle of the church house. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And I want you to understand, my friend, that Jesus has come and he was the Lamb of God which was slain before the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord for that. Well, listen, because of that, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you and I are made two things. What are they? Kings and priests. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, and as priests, we have something to offer that must be made. Just like Abel presented a faithful offering, you and I, too, have offerings outlined for us in the Bible. And I want to give one to you this morning, and then we'll be done. First thing you and I must offer, Christian, listen. The very first thing you say, my tithe and offering, you'd expect a Baptist preacher to say that, right? Give of your tithes and offerings. And I'm all for that. Listen, the work of the Lord has to go on, and it takes money to do that, there's no doubt. The very first thing you're to give is, number one, we must give ourselves. We must give ourselves. There are many things I'm going to mention, and I'm going to have a part two to this sermon. There's many things that are commended in the New Testament for Christians to offer to the Lord. And I'm going to speak on those things, but I don't want you to get some just vain list of things to do and think this: I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm giving a real good offering to the Lord. Friend, if it don't begin in the heart, and it begins first by you giving, listen, yourself. It all stems from that truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we all know it, we all could quote it, but friends, I don't care if you can quote it. Are you living as a sacrifice? It says this, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, listen to the language, a living sacrifice unto God. Present it to God. You know what that is? That's an offering. That's an offering. You're presenting yourself to God, a living sacrifice to God. Guess what it should be? Holy, acceptable unto God, which, oh, by the way, is just our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's that? Get in your Bible and get along with God. Get transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guess what you'll do? You'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, I just don't understand the will of God. Listen, you're admitting that you have not spent time with God. You want to prove the will of God? Then get alone with God. Say yes to the Lord. Have a faithful offering. Say, hey, I'm a living sacrifice, Lord. You don't have just part of me. You have all of me. Everything about me is yours. My speech, my eyes, what I eat, when I get up, when I lie down, when I go to the store, when I talk to someone, everything about me is given to you, all of it. Hey, by the way, it's his anyways. Can I ask a question, real pointed? Are you willing to give up everything this morning? Are you? Are you willing to give it all? You might think, I want to be one that gives a faithful offering, Pastor James. I want to be a faithful Christian. Are you willing to give up everything? That's what God's asking us to do. Some might say you're taking that a little bit too far. That's a little bit fanatical, Pastor James. I mean, I don't mind coming to the church house, sure. You tell me to come on Wednesday night, I'll come for Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. I don't mind putting an offering in the plate. I'll put a little bit of money in the plate. I don't mind even taking some time to clean the church house. I'll clean a little, I'll sing a little, I'll teach a little, but you want me to give everything. You know what you're to be? By the way, this isn't Pastor James wants you to give everything. This is from the Lord. And God says you and I are to be a living sacrifice. If it all begins there, a complete surrender to the Lord, this first faithful offering is that we must give ourselves. Lord Jesus Christ once was asked by the Pharisees, what's the most important commandment that God's ever given? What's the tippity top? You boiled all down to us, Jesus. Tell us, what is it that we're to do? How is it that we're to live? What is the very most important thing that is recorded in this book? And Jesus responds in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto them, listen, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with, listen, all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What does that mean? That means everything. It means all thy heart. It means all thy soul. It means all thy mind. Oh, friend, we come into the church house, we come to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and yet our thoughts are somewhere else. I guarantee you there's some sitting here right now and their thoughts are not even in this place. Somewhere else. Is that, my friend, a faithful offering to the Lord? It cannot be. You see, the first commandment, the first order of business, the first sacrifice is all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. It is, my friend, a living sacrifice. See, the Lord calls for an offering of your entire being, body, soul, and spirit. Praise the Lord for our wonderful Savior. You know, we're more alive than ever before. If you're a child of God, you're more alive than you ever were before. And you and I can present and offer sacrifices because we're a living sacrifice. We're alive. And I think about that, and we stop right here this morning. We must get down this first element of faithful offering right. It requires an action, what? That begins in our heart. Friend, is your heart right with God? Are you a child of God? There's no amount of external action you could ever do to pay your sin debt that you owe. There's none amount. Friends, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to deal with the sin debt? Come to Jesus. For the Christian, is your heart right, friend? Are you harboring something in your heart this morning? I believe this wholeheartedly, that one of the greatest sins that hinders Christians in our modern day is this matter of unforgiveness. I believe it. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world full of sinners. That's why. We're stepping on each other's toes all the time. Then secondly, we learn this, that a faithful offering results in action without. Friend, are you looking at what God says pleases him? Some folks attempt to present things to the Lord he will not accept, like strange fire. Strange fire. In fact, you'll see it in the very life, the danger of that with Nadab and Abihu. How about Ananias and Sapphira? Trying to put on the show. I'm going to make an offering. I'm going to play the part. I'm going to look real good. Caught by the Holy Spirit of God. So, I say this. It's an affront for us to attempt to approach God using the ways of the world. Let's approach God his way. So what are one of the offerings commended to you and I as Christians? For you to give yourself. Are you willing to present your body as a living sacrifice this morning? That's a faithful offering to say, Lord, you have my body, soul, my spirit. Are you willing to say this morning, Lord, I've been holding back in times past, but I'm going to surrender everything to you right now. That's my faithful offering this morning. Or maybe for someone here this morning, you need to say this. I need to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I've never repented of my sin and I've never trusted in Christ. I've never cried out to him and asked him to save me. Maybe for you, you need to become a Christian. Be born again. I'm going to invite you to come forward in just a few moments. Are you willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm all yours. You want to trust in the Lord Jesus, the blessed Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world? That's your sin too, by the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.